pena ko te te whānau ko huhu mai te atanei ai te tuatahi mihi aroha hi mihi whakawhetai ki tō mātou mātua i te rangi. Kia koutou hi mihi mahana, kia koutou tū. Ko Tessa Cameron tuku ingoa, tēnā koutou rā tātou katoa. Hi from me. It's so great to be here and to glorify and worship God together and to greet you all and to say thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Ruth. Yeah, I fell in love with Ruth on the first day I met her. I think we just looked across the room and we're like, I like you. And so you're so blessed with your beautiful pastors and getting to know Sean a little bit too. But do you know, I think you're smart and you're godly, but also dependable. I think that's such a beautiful trait, Ruth. Consistent, reliable, trustworthy. Sometimes it's not just the glamorous things, it's the anchoring, foundational things, and it's a beautiful community you're building here. Shout out to Tim and Jude Cosson. So, small world story, I dated their son Isaac in high school at Morrinsville College. I know. So, and we love Pastors Alan and Eleanor. And how great to be here. I love this room. I love the feel in it. I love you all. The view out there, what a special space. And I just honour you for holding the space here, holding it for each other, holding it for the community who will come in. It's so significant and so meant to be. And I will pray too into the city on a hill and a light to the community. It's a beautiful thing. So well done, you all. I'm Tessa Cameron, for those of you who don't know me, and married to Tamati, and we pastor Te Kāinga C3 Church, previously C3 Church Tauranga, but when City Church became C3 City Church Tauranga, we started getting mystery tithes, and we started getting messages saying, thanks for your great kids' day. And so we thought we'd better just be honest. And we two separate churches, but we changed our name to Te Kāinga last year, which means home, with the hope to build a home for God and for one another and for people to come into and find home. So that's us. We've been here for 14 years in Tauranga. We were youth pastors for 6 years before that in C3 Hamilton, and a couple of years before that I walked into C3 Auckland and became a Christian at uni. And so that's my story, and it's great to be here. But we're going to turn to the Word of God, so I'll pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. God, I can't believe that you have left your Bible with us. God, even over thousands of years, that we get to read it and think about it and change because of it. And Father, I pray that this morning it is daily bread and we eat it hungrily. I pray that it is seeds on soil and it brings forth fruit. And so God, we love you, we bless you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So I have called this message Towards Wholeness. And keep walking, because I think sometimes you're like, towards wholeness, I'll get there one day, but we won't. But we can keep walking in the meantime. And just with the thought that the Bible promises so much, the Bible opens up so much of who God is and what he wants to do in our lives and how much he loves humanity. And it is not meant to be static words on a page that we read about from ancient people long ago or an ancient God, but it's meant to be words of the page that introduce us to a beautifully, wonderfully loving God and his heart for people then and now and what he wants to do in us. So we're going to go through a few scriptures. The word is wholeness, as in from the Hebrew word shalom, which is translated most often as peace, but also means security, wholeness, soundness, completeness, tranquility, contentment. And so we are going to go there. The Bible promises peace, shalom, and wholeness, the life of abundance and flourishing that our hearts long for is available. And we can't control the external circumstances of life. I think sometimes we get tricked into thinking, I'll get everything else on the outside all right, and then I will find abundance, and then I will flourish, and then I will truly come alive and be connected to God. But the Bible tells a different story, and I'm guessing that your life up till now will have told a different story, that life is not straightforward. But there's an inner life, there's a life on the inside with God, the creator of the universe, the giver of life in all its fullness, that can cause this life in all its fullness to spring up from the inside out, regardless of circumstances. A fullness on the inside that transcends what's going on around us. The promise of wholeness, heart, peace, shalom. So this morning, will we walk with him into this peace? And will we keep walking even when it gets hard? And I want to say that it matters for us. It matters for you individually. It matters for us as a community, as a church family, because the Bible is always written to communities. I feel like Hebrew culture and the Jewish culture, they weren't individualistic like ours are. They framed it up in community viewpoint, much like Te Ao Māori, much like our Māori culture in New Zealand. It's not so much about the individual, it's about the collective. So when we think about peace and wholeness, yes, it's for us as a person, but yes, it's also for us as church communities and people of God, and that God's intention is to bring blessing to others through his people. So this morning, I want to talk about how he wants to bless us and then how we live more and more in this blessing and keep walking in it. So first question, does he really want to bless me? And from Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27, sorry, it's quite small up there. I hope you can read it. But otherwise, I've got a big loud voice. Otherwise, in your Bibles or on your phones, you could turn to Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. And this is maybe familiar to you if you've been a Christian for a while, and maybe unfamiliar to if you haven't been. But this is God's word to Moses for his people. And I feel like they introduce us to this loving, lavish, good, abundant God and his heart for people. And I feel like he would say the same to us today, to speak these words over each other as the priests that we are. So the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, the priesthood, and say to them, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. And God hasn't stopped wanting to bless his people. God hasn't stopped wanting, you know, us, each other, to say over one another, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The people of Israel, God's people. The people of Israel, God's people who we as Gentile Christians have been grafted into on that same olive tree. And so the words of God are the same over us. So God's heart for us is that we would allow him to bless us, to grant us his peace. And that word, as I said before, is the Hebrew word shalom, which we translate as peace. And we might think peace is just like nothing else going on, like I'm just peaceful, it's quiet. But this word is this like is a broader blessing of a life transformed in the goodness of God, and shalom being a way of living in a and a character, a posture, a nature of peace, tranquility, contentment, wholeness, soundness, completeness. And I think our hearts yearn for that. I think we know that our hearts are often fractured in a million pieces and they need to be put back together. And I think we know there is a completeness and a soundness we long for, like sound as in you like tap it and it remains whole, or it's unbreakable, unshakable, it's complete. And so we long for this, and luckily at the same time, God longs to give it to us. The yearning in our heart, the pull to our heart towards peace and soundness and wholeness and security and contentment, that's a hunger that God has given us, because it's a hunger he wants to answer by giving us his presence. He wants to bless us and keep us and have his face turned towards us. But I want to ask this morning, do we know that? And do we receive it? Because it's one thing to be static words on a page. It's one thing to read an ancient prayer. But it's another thing to let our hearts say to God, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe that's your heart towards me. Yes, I believe that's your heart towards us as a people. Yes, I believe that you say over me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to make my face shine upon you. I'm going to be gracious to you, lift up my countenance upon you and give you peace. And I put in the last line, so they shall put my name upon the people of Israel. My name, as in Yahweh, as in my identity. This is who I am. This is how I long to take care of my people. And when we say yes to that, we say yes to God and we become more like him and we radiate his nature and his character more soundly because we've let his name come upon us. He's not a God who, he doesn't say I'm going to put my wrath on them, I'm going to put my bitterness, my resentment, my anger, my high expectations. He says, I'm going to put my blessing on them. My face is going to shine on them, on you. My grace, I'm going to be gracious. Do you believe it? And then, yes, we can say we believe it, but what does your heart say? Because our heads can say one thing, and our hearts can say an entirely different thing. And I think we can know what our hearts say to this by our thoughts and by our actions. Because it's one thing to give an intellectual assent. God, I know that you want to bless me. That's who you are. I'll just take it as a general, you know, generic principle of the Bible. But you personally, do you know he wants to bless you? Do you know that his heart is turned towards you? That his face shines upon you and his countenance is turned towards you. His countenance, the countenance of the Lord God of heaven and earth. It's not far away, it's not distant, it's not shadowed or guarded or veiled anymore. It's turned towards you. Do your thoughts and actions say that God is for me and is keeping me? And that his face is turned towards me? Or do our thoughts and actions, do our heart and our feelings and our emotions say that his face is turned away from me in shame or disappointment or deliberately ignoring me or that he's too far off to see? What's your image of God? How do you picture him? How do you relate to him? As far off? As disappointed in you? Ashamed of you? I want to say this morning that he is not. That he is the most perfectly loving father. And he says, I love you, and my face is turned towards you in all the circumstances of your life, while you walk towards wholeness, while you make the mistakes and come back and drift off and come back, in all the circumstances of life, his face is turned towards you. Does your heart say that he's not really keeping me? I'm not safe with him. There's no security here. So I have to find safety and security and protection for myself. Does your heart say that his blessings aren't good enough for me or that his way of blessing does not satisfy? So I'll go out and I'll seek to arrange some blessings that are more immediate and visible and socially popular and acceptable for myself. God, here's your blessings, but I'm just going to park them for a bit and I'm going to go and find my own way of blessing and see how that turns out. What is our, this is just like writing out the notes in my head. I feel like this is the journey that I've gone through. Like, I read the words on the page. Cool, that's all very well for other people. But then I've looked at my heart and been like, but God, I don't know if I really do trust you. I don't know if you really are keeping me. I don't know really if your heart, your face is really shining upon me. But the more I read God's word as truth, and God's truth for us, God's truth for me, going like, oh, this God is really who you are. And I'm not doing you any service by saying, no, it's not. Because then I'm being prideful and saying, I know better. But we can't be prideful. We've got to be like, oh, this is God. And it's his. And imagine him. Imagine the Ancient of Days seated on his throne and hair like wool and rolls of thunder and flashes of lightning and a sea of crystal. He's incredible and he's eternal. And so all that is left for us to do is to say yes. And we can say no, and he's got room for that too, because he made us stroppy and stubborn. But can we get used to saying yes to him? Can we trust him to be gracious? Or do we say, I can't trust your grace, God? So I'll strive and I'll try to prove myself and I'll try to earn your grace and I'll try to show how good I am. He is gracious. He wants to be gracious to you. And peace, maybe that's always been in the too hard basket. So I'll shelve my desire for peace and I'll give in to the turmoil and the chaos of life and the body, soul and spirit. But God wants to turn he wants to pull peace back off the shelf and put peace back into your heart, into your belly, into your anxious thoughts, into your troubled mind. He wants to replace his peace there. Because wholeness, towards wholeness, starts with looking where we're at. It's great to look at where we want to be, but it's also healthy to be like, here I am. These are the thoughts and intentions of my heart. This is the gripes I've got with God. This is the wall I've got between us. These are the lists of like, God, could you please do this or answer that? Or could I please understand that? We have to start with where we are at. I just wanted to pop this in too, that in Isaiah and Luke, it says that Jesus is the one who binds up our broken hearts. And he put that in there because I know that he knew that we would have broken hearts. And sometimes our hearts can't trust God because they're broken. And they've been broken by people who were meant to be trustworthy and weren't. But there's a remedy for your broken heart, and it is Jesus. And he will bind up your broken heart, as in he'll get his Holy Spirit bandages and he'll wrap and wrap and wrap and he'll pull all the broken pieces of your heart, all the fractured, scattered pieces, and he'll put them together. He'll bind up your broken heart. And so maybe this morning and maybe over the course of the next few weeks, you could use Numbers chapter 6 verses 22 to 27 as meditation literature. And choose to say with God and with the priesthood and make it personal, God, you will bless me. You will keep me. You are keeping me. You'll make your face to shine upon me. You're gracious to me. Your countenance is turned towards me. And you grant me your peace. And just say, thank you, Jesus. And say it over and over and over again. Because our hearts, they are teachable and malleable and moldable. And they'll listen to truth and they'll grow in truth, and truth will just get padded into the inside of us, and it will make a difference. And it will make a difference next year. You'll look back and be like, I've changed. I'm a little bit more secure, whole, complete, sound, a little bit more peaceful, tranquil, content. I feel that extra bit safe and secure in God. I know his graciousness. I can feel his countenance turned towards me. And these are the mysteries of life that we get to work out for the rest of our lives. So accept the blessing for ourselves, for us as a people of God in a church community at C3 City Church North. And for the purpose of God in this world. Wholeness has a purpose, or our journey towards wholeness, our walk towards wholeness as we keep walking. And this is Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, which I can't get out of my head at the moment, but this is God's words to Abram before he had children. And God had a plan, and the plan was to bless humanity. And I can't believe it. And I love it. High and mighty and righteous, he wants to bless the nations of the world. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. Here we are, the great nation of the people of God. And I, the Lord, I will bless you, and I'll make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I'll bless you so that you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I'll curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. C3 City Church North is here so that the community will be blessed, to be a blessing, to usher in love, to usher in kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, so people can pluck it off the tree of this church and eat it, and eat love and joy and peace, and eat the goodness of God. He wants to bless the community through the church. Our purpose is to be a blessing. And there's no blessing in more of the same, or in a church that looks no different to the life of fear, idolatry, darkness and confusion, and love with the world. But there is blessing in the fullness, in the wholeness, in the abundant life in God as we fix our gaze on him, conformed to him, set apart, holy. We carry him as light to a dark world, as peace to a panicked world, and as bread to a hungry world. And I want to say to you this morning, let God be peace to you first, and bread to your hungry soul first, and light to the darkness in you first. And then we become made in his image. And not that we'll be perfect. I think sometimes we're just like, I'll be perfect one day. I'll get there one day. And then I'll go and bless some people. But it's the perfection of the working of Christ that he completes and perfects. And we just have to carry the little bit of Jesus that we've got and be a blessing to the people around us. Carry the blessing in his image. And so just three practical... Oh, that is so funny. I've been looking at that like circle clock up there. I mean, like 1:45. Okay, heaps of time. And then I'm like, digital, I have got 10 minutes. It's like, we're quite relaxed. We're just going to like take our time. And now I have got three quick bullet points on how to live. It's like, the sun stood still. No, just the minute hand on the clock. Just as what I noticed, otherwise Ruth would have been doing the like, just like your son loved her. All right, how are we going? All right, we've got 10 more minutes left in us. Ooh, okay, I love it because he says, I'm going to bless you, and then he says, and this is how you can walk in the blessing. Isaiah 26 verse 3, you can just put this one on the front page of your phone and look at it every hour when you pick up your phone and see, is this how we're going? God promises, Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom, doubled up. He whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. And I couldn't resist putting the Amplified on. For those with great eyesight, this is in the Amplified Bible. You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. So get your Bible, highlight it, underline it. If I can trust him, my mind will be stayed on him, and he will keep me in perfect peace. James backs it up in chapter 1. He says, and let steadfastness or endurance or perseverance have its full effect, be perfect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So there's wholeness that comes from steadfastness, from fixing, staying, focusing our mind on God. And focus and staying our mind on God comes because we trust him. In the bio, so the first word is train. Train your mind on God and train it to stick there. And blessed is the one whose mind has stayed on God. So it's like we had a border collie, and her name was Alice, and used to say, "Sit, Alice, stay." And she was a good farm dog, so she stayed. And we've got a naughty golden retriever, so we say, "Sit, Lola, stay." And Lola's like, "No way." And then she like goes and like, do you know, I wrapped up 500 little bags of lollies for one heart, thought they'd be safe in the lounge, and I came down in the morning and Lola had helped herself to 10 little bags of lollies. So Lola has not got an appointment in the dentist. She's going to be toothless. Anyway. So stay. Just like we, like a farmer would say to his dog, we can say to our mind, which is prone to going off wandering and looking for lollies in the corner, stay. Wander off, stay. Sit, stay. Focus on God. Self-control. And the Bible uses the analogies of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. People have to do the right thing over and over and over again to explain the Christian life. Doing the right thing at the right time gains a certain result. We can't control the external circumstances of our lives, our husband, our children, our workplace, our employment, our community, the sun shining, the rain coming down, the wind blowing, you know, the economy, the finances, the global crisis. We cannot control it, but we can control our mind, as in the perspective, the way we see all of these things, and we can tell our mind, stay on God, be fixed, be focused. Fix your mind. Where do your thoughts go when it gets hard? And we'll all say, yeah, my thoughts go crazy when it gets hard. We are human. And you know, I did a little, I'm doing a pastoral care course, and then you have to start with yourself. And they're like, write down all your mind chatter. I've got a really noisy mind, it turns out. but I was saying that to say where your thoughts go when it gets hard. Oh, yeah. So I had to write down why I had all these thoughts. And then it says, and how can you think about it differently? What's the truth? And I felt like the Holy Spirit just wrote through my pen, God does not expect anything more of me than the humanity that he made me with. So I'm free to make mistakes, and I'll learn from them. And he will, like, learn and grow and shape me. And I was like, oh, it was such a relief. It was amazing. So take captive the thoughts. Can you fix your mind on him resolutely, steadfastly? And peace will be the fruit. He keeps you when you keep your mind on him. Secondly, so train your mind to fix and focus. Trust. We train our mind to fix and focus. And it says, you keep him in, or her, you keep her in perfect peace, whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts you. So before our mind can be fixed and focused and stayed on God, our heart needs to come into trusting God. Because if we don't trust him, we're not going to focus and stay our mind on him. He's too scary, too big, too crazy, too unreliable, and too hard to nail down. And so there's no way we're going to focus and fix our thoughts on him. Trust, for he trusts in you. Is God good? Is he safe? Is he trustworthy? And again, not just generally, but to you, to your heart. Your heart needs to know before your mind will stay. So maybe just close your eyes right here in this room right now and ask yourself the question, do I trust him? God, do I trust you? Are you good? And then think, what is in the way? Why can't I trust you? Is it a past relationship? Is it disappointment? Is it discouragement? And then over the top of that, just say, God, I want to trust you. Please help me. Please help my heart to know you. Please open my eyes to see who you are and your goodness. Please heal the broken hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Get to know God so that you can trust him. Get to know him in the word. Read the scripture and see how good he is. Get to know him in prayer. Prayer in the car, prayer by your bed, prayer in the closet, prayer while you're doing the dishes, prayer with your family, prayer with your friends, prayer at church, community, testimony. Teach your heart that he is good. He's not like all the other parents. John 10 verse 10 says that the thief comes only to steal and destroy. These are the words of Jesus. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He is so good and he's trustworthy and your heart can trust him. The shepherd, why does Jesus describe himself as a shepherd? Because a shepherd leads sheep and it nurtures them and it protects them. And if they're hungry, he finds them grass. And if they're thirsty, he finds them still water so they can drink. He looks after the sheep. If there's wolves around, he brings them into the pen. He looks after the sheep. He leads them to fullness and abundance. I've come that they may have life. Do you long to have life? Does your heart yearn for life in all its fullness, to be satisfied, to be overflowing, to be abundant? He says, I've come for that very reason, that you could have an abundant life on the inside. And how you get there is by trusting me as the good shepherd who will take care of you and nurture and nourish and lead you. If he's the shepherd and he leads, then we just get to follow into life in all its fullness. And thirdly, so we train our mind, we teach our heart to trust, and then thirdly, we choose. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. I love how black and white and blunt he is. He's just like, here we go. And you have to read it 10 times over to like, okay, thank you. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. Life and peace. When we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, the choice is between the flesh and the Spirit. And trickily, what is seen and what is unseen. Very difficult. Way more easy to focus on what's seen and like therefore supposedly dependable. Way more tricky to set our mind and trust in what is unseen, but we get to. He whose mind is stayed on you, it doesn't come naturally, it is a choice. We have to choose to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. By default, we'll go flesh every time. Default. But we need to be, like those little blow-up men you see at mechanics sometimes, and like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, it's like, get knocked down, get back up again. flesh, spirit. I hope nobody's reviewing this. This is like, you had to be in the room. All right. Oh, yeah, red clock. Okay. The choice is between flesh and the Spirit, seen and unseen. The flesh is seen, temporal and temporary. It's carnal, it's wants, needs and desires, and it will kill you. The Spirit is unseen and eternal. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are not humans having a spiritual experience. Live according to the Spirit, in line with and out of. In the big decisions and the small daily ones, the choice is worth it. So maybe if you could just close your eyes and have a moment with God. And I just want you to close your eyes and having a moment with God, because you can do this any day you choose. When you wake up, before you go to bed, any time in the middle of the day, you can just connect with God and say, God, help me. And so I'm just going to pray into those three things, training our mind, trusting in God, and choosing. And you can agree with whatever you like and pray your own prayers at the same time. God, I thank you for your promise of blessing and an abundant, full, thriving life. And God, we acknowledge it is so tricky to lay a hold of. But God, could our experience not define our expectation? But could our expectation of you stay true to your word? Father, I pray that you'd reveal to every person in this room how you long to bless them, that your face is shining upon them, that you are gracious towards them, that your countenance is upon them. And your heart, God, is to grant them your peace, your shalom, tranquility and contentment, security and safety, wholeness, completeness, and soundness and welfare. And God, to live in that blessing, could you help us to train, stay, fix and focus our mind on you, to take captive every thought and to train it on you. God, could you teach our heart to trust you and to work out why it doesn't, and to let you be bigger and better and more good. And God, we live every day and every moment on the tightrope of flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit. God, could you help us to choose the Spirit? This is Deuteronomy 30, just while your eyes are closed. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules. Then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you'll surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he's your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Amen.